Welcome to Freya Singing Tips, the podcast. My name is Freya Casey, professional singer and vocal coach. I have been on stage my whole life, and I'm passionate about helping you discover the awesomeness in your own voice. Opera, musical theater, jazz, pop, folk, rock, I have done it all. And I want to give you golden nuggets of advice on how to be the master of your voice. Today, I'm going to share with you 10 habits that are going to help you expand your vocal range. Tip number one, warm up regularly. I know everyone knows this, but it's surprising how many singers don't regularly warm up. Now, I'm sometimes guilty of not doing a formal workout before I sing, but the thing is, I sing a lot and I do a lot of exercises. Every single day I teach my students, I do a lot of exercises and demonstrating. So I think that really means I do a lot of those. But be more intentional about your warming up, because the truth is your vocal cords consist of muscle and membranes. And in order for them to work at peak efficiency, you have to warm them up, because get the blood flow going. Remember, you're an athlete. As a singer, you are a vocal athlete. So treat your vocal tract as very carefully, like you would your muscles if you were a professional athlete. They are your asset and you got to treat them nicely. The next thing is to practice breath control. Your breath is extremely important, so practice diaphragmatic breathing, meaning you actually very intentionally use the muscles that keep your posture up and that it control the air going in and outward. Use that diaphragm, use the muscles, go out with your ribs when you inhale, but when you exhale, use that syringe image. That really helps me, because a lot of students ask me, do I push in? Do I push out? Now, the truth is, when you contract muscles, it almost feels like you're pushing outward. That happens to some singers. That sensation is you leave everything loose. And then as you contract, it feels like almost like something's going out, because your muscles bulk up as they contract. The truth is, think moving up. Think of the diaphragm being a horizontal muscle. So as you are exhaling when you sing, it's like a slowly upward motion. Don't collapse around your ribs or chest. Stay lifted, stay straight. And just, it's almost like you want to think of the air column being pushed up, which is kind of what happens, because your trachea is vertical and you go from the lungs upward toward the vocal cords. That is an upward movement. So think of it that way. The next thing is, do vocal flexibility exercises. You want to move through your entire range all the time without hanging out there, without getting too much in your head. So exercises such as lip trills, lip rolls, or sirens, those are really great to actually, on a daily basis, just go up there, go down there, move through that. It's almost like you're stretching all the way, go through the full range of motion. And I always say, don't neglect your low end. Don't ever neglect your high end. Don't neglect the middle. Move through the entire range that you have now and go all the way until failure, until you can't anymore, until it sounds bad. Go there. Go there all the way and until you can't sing the pitch anymore. The next thing is a no-brainer, but I know we're all guilty of not always doing it. Stay hydrated. Personally, this is the cup I take with me everywhere I go, whether I'm driving somewhere, taking the train, or, well, if I go for a longer walk, I actually take a bottle with me. Now, this one is a stainless steel. When I actually go for a walk and I need a backpack, I take something a little lighter, but this is the cup I take everywhere. I use water with a shot of ginger in there. Like, you can buy the ginger juice, pure ginger juice, put a little bit in there. It gives it flavor and it's healthy for your gut and it's really great. I also always have a hot drink. This is my second cup. It's leak proof and it goes with me everywhere. Usually tea or sometimes coffee in the morning. I have one coffee every day ever since the twins were born. And staying hydrated is really important. It's almost like oil in the engine. You need to keep that mucus nice and flowy and not too sticky. And staying hydrated really helps your vocal cords work at their best. Now, in the winter time, I actually sometimes use a humidifier in my bedroom. Well, not since the twins, because they would destroy it. But it does really help if you suffer from having really dry nasal passages, or you feel like you have a dry cough.
that is not from having a cold, a humidifier can really help the voice. And I can tell you that it can make a big difference. For some people, it makes the hugest difference just having a humidifier around you, especially in the wintertime when outside it's just dry. When you live in cold climates, the air gets so extremely dry. And, you know, you can tell your skin and your breathing mechanism, it all feels dried out. So try that out using a humidifier, staying hydrated. Water is just so important for everything. For me personally, it does not work to get up and to drink like a glass or two of water straight away on an empty stomach. It makes me feel nauseous. So when I get up, I start sipping water right away and I sip throughout the day. Don't not drink for 5 hours and then catch up by thinking, oh, now I need to drink half a gallon. Doesn't work like that. You need to consistently drink through the entire day. And I stop drinking a couple hours before I go to bed because otherwise I have to go to the bathroom all night long. That's very intentional, but really water is just important consistently. Number 5 is proper posture. You can practice this every single day. Proper posture is important in order for your airflow to work and to be controlled. Without good posture, you can't really control what is happening in your support. Therefore, the airflow is not nice and even. You want to have a nice, even airflow so you can like ride all those pitches on that. You can practice that on an everyday basis, even when you're not singing. When you sit on a chair, when you walk, when you stand in line, practice that posture. Practice standing up straight, lift from the sternum. Don't slouch forward. Don't arch your back. Relax your arms and shoulders, but lift from the sternum. And that's going to help you in your singing. It's the default. As soon as you get into singing mode, bam, get that posture and practice that whenever you can, every single day, until it becomes second nature. I can tell you, like, when I get on stage, just stepping on stage or stepping in a studio, when I get ready for singing and the music starts, bam, it's automatically, posture is there. And it's so different than you think. Record yourself. You will see that you're not as nice and lifted as you think you are. It might feel very exaggerated in the beginning. I always felt like my teacher always got onto me. You're still leaning forward. You're still falling forward. And I felt like I'm like this, like sticking out my chest. But I wasn't. When I watched the recordings on video, I realized it felt so different. My intention was to be very lifted. And I felt like I stuck out my chest. But it didn't look that way. It actually did look like I was leaning forward still. So record yourself on video to check up on your posture, because the feeling, that sensation that you have might not be what's actually happening. Before I move on to number 6, I want to tell you about a really cool new thing that I'm doing. And that is, I have a new newsletter coming out that you can subscribe to. It's going to be just me sharing my experiences and stories from all, my whole life of singing on stage, my life as a vocal coach. If you would like to subscribe, I put the link below. I would love to connect with you. Again, it's going to be no fluff. It's just me sharing my experiences and my thoughts, and I just want to connect with you more. Number 6 is general vocal health. Now, of course, you cannot expand your vocal range if you are hoarse or there's something wrong. If you have nodules or anything else that is just not right with your vocal cords, you cannot expand your vocal range. So having impeccable vocal hygiene in order to keep your vocal tract healthy and your general body is so important. So smoking, of course, is not the greatest, but then also be mindful of all the things that affect your voice. You might be sensitive to spicy foods or acid or dairy products. You have to test that out for yourself. Keep a diary for a while and note, what did I eat yesterday? Maybe just for a few weeks, keep a diary and just write down what you ate and then take note of what happens with your voice. So when you have a day when you're very phlegmy, think back, what did I eat right before? Or what did I eat the evening before the morning when I started singing and it felt so phlegmy? Maybe there is a connection. Of course, there is also a connection like your general lifestyle. If you don't get enough sleep or if you have been yelling or, you know, using your voice in ways that are not healthy, just in your speaking habits, take note, make a diary for a while. If you have a frequent problem of your vocal cords feeling like they're tense and tight and you can't really tie it to like a singing technique problem, it might be something in your lifestyle, in the foods that you eat, the drinks that you drink. Be careful and figure it out for yourself. It's your responsibility. You only have one pair of vocal cords. It's not like a guitar. When the string breaks, you could just get a new one, or entire guitar breaks, you could just go buy a new one. You can never buy a new voice. It's unique. It's your instrument. So you have to take much better care of that than anyone, even anyone who has like $500,000 instrument, like a Steinway amazing grand piano. You have to take care of your voice because it is truly unique and it cannot be replaced. If you can't sing anymore and if it's damaged, then it's game over as a singer. The next thing is vocal rest. In order to keep your voice healthy, you have to rest your voice regularly. So here's what I do. I practice going high. I belt out. I go there all the way. I commit. I practice that song, that hard passage where I go to my limits. And then I'm mindful of like, how far did I go? How strained is my voice now? Because it will be strained. It's like an athlete. If you go all the way to your limits, you need the rest afterwards in order to recuperate. And if you don't give yourself those periods of rest, number one, your vocal range is going to suffer, because as soon as your vocal cords are not in tip-top shape and everything around it, your vocal range is going to be decreased. Your high pitches aren't going to sit there. They're not going to be easy. They're going to get harder. It's going to be tense. So resting after demanding things that you do with your voice is so crucial. And yes, here comes the thing. Even if you have a performance every single day of the week, it's absolutely doable, but you have to do it in a smart way. So don't talk. We do a lot of using our voices just speaking. So if you have all those demands as a professional singer every single day, you can save your voice by just reducing the amount of time that you talk. And also in your warm-up, be mindful. Maybe if you have a lot of actual singing performing to do, that's a lot of singing already. You don't have to warm up for an hour or two. It's enough to warm up with some easy stuff to where you get that baseline level. And the truth is, most of the time, you might not have to start out your singing performance with the bam, it's all the way high and the most demanding stuff ever. You don't really always have to start out there. If you do have a performance that's like that, chances are the entire performance isn't going to be like that. It's not going to be that high demand stuff for like 2 hours. So do your sets to where it allows your vocal cords to rest by just taking out some intensity. So you can't sing 2 hours full high belty intensity. That's really going to get to you. So be smart about the way you do your sets, the way you plan out your week, your performances, and the type of repertoire you sing, if you have any control over it. I used to sing opera. Sometimes like I had several performances every single week. Plus I taught. So that was a lot on the voice, but I sang in a smart way. So really giving your voice rest, that doesn't just mean not singing. It also means taking the weight off when you do sing and start marking when you rehearse. We had opera rehearsals for several hours, sometimes every single day, because we do the staging and all the stuff. We can't just sing out like that aria 25 times as we stage it. It's just not possible. So we mark it. We always focus on like, what is it that's important right now? So if you practice with a band all day long, you tell them, okay, guys, I'm just going to mark it, because it's not about me performing right now. It's about everyone kind of learning how to do it together. So you just be smart about when does it count for you to be 100% on, and when can you just take it down a notch when it comes to intensity. The next thing might be obvious, but it's so important. Work with a vocal coach. I can't stress this enough, because even I need someone to take a look from the outside sometimes to check up on me, to give me fresh ideas, give me fresh exercises, give me a fresh approach, give me like another angle. That really helps me. So when you are the only one looking at yourself and you are in your own body, so it's really hard. So even the best actors in the world need a director, right? Because the director sees the entire picture. He sees the entire project from like 5 steps removed. The actor is in the middle of it. And when you're in the middle of it and doing it, you can't really see the entire picture. So you need a vocal coach, even if it's just sometimes, to check up on you. And I do this. I have, you know, like I try to go to the best. My teacher sometimes checks in with me. And over the years, You know, she's like, I'm proud of you. Be careful about this. She reminds me of the things that she knows about my voice because she knows me so well. She just reminds me because it's very easy to get into bad habits. Even if you're very knowledgeable and you're very experienced, it's just easy to get into bad habits. And I just appreciate a fresh approach sometimes of someone, you know, even watching someone else, watching a different coach and be like, huh, okay, I never looked at it like this. Maybe that's a great exercise, or maybe I could look at it like this and try out a different approach. Very cool. It keeps everything fun. And please do see a vocal coach every once in a while. If not every week, if you are still more in the beginning stages. Otherwise, you get into bad habits, and it's so hard to get rid of bad habits. And we all have habits when it comes to singing. Even if you just started, we all have sung, and we just kind of do it. Number 9, and this is something I am known for, and I will argue about this all day long, do sing in different genres. So, for example, you do easy, light jazz. A lot of mixing, maybe some falsetto. Lightness, that's a whole different voice color than, let's say, belting out and singing like musical theater or like Disney, you know. I don't care what they're going to say. And then maybe also trying something classical, not because you want to do this full time, but just because it's going to help you feel, oh, that's something else I could do with my vocal cords. Oh, wow, they can go all the way there. My larynx can go all the way there. The pharyngeal space can go all the way there. I feel like when you are more aware of that full range of where you could go, both directions, that awareness goes like here. And then like, there are enough examples out there of actually singers who can cross over very easily and be convincing in singing both opera and belting and pop and musical theater. It is possible, and I just feel that it adds to everything. I don't believe that if you sing pop, you should never sing opera, or if you sing opera, you should never sing pop. I think it is really cool if you can do both. It's fun. If you are aware of the differences and how you use all the different muscles, totally awesome. And this is how you are going to push your limits in all directions, which will totally help you expand your vocal range. It's like your muscles are going all the way here and all the way there. And lastly, so important, stay consistent. Now, here's what happens to a lot of singers and people who just generally want to learn something and be better or amazing at something. They get to a certain point and then they stagnate. There's a plateau, or there's like a hurdle. There's something that is keeping them from making progress. And then they decide, oh, it's not for me. It's not working. But here's the thing. Reframe that. Oh, it's not working yet. I haven't figured it out yet. There's something I don't know yet. There's something I'm not doing right yet. But I will learn how to do this, and I will acquire that skill. Now, being organized as a singer is actually quite important. Make yourself a schedule and schedule in practice sessions. And that does not just mean you have to sing out loud. You can also study, listen to the music that you're learning, look at the sheet music, make notes, try to think about it, sing through it in your mind, which does help a lot. Mentally going through everything. When I feel that I'm not making any progress, or like it's not a great period of time, I always tell myself, oh, this is great, because after the plateau usually comes the progress again. So these are my 10 tips to expand your vocal range. I do have specific exercises to expand your vocal range. You may check them out. The links are below. And I hope you have an amazing day. And until next time, always keep a song in your heart and always keep on singing.